Moolala is brought to you by the nonprofit credit counseling agency, Credit Canada. For people in relationships, and what I mean is like partner relationship, not like the relationship with you have with the person who delivers your newspaper or something like that, but intimate relationships, I think we could all say, or we could all agree, that it is really important to talk about money. Sometimes you may not see eye to eye on what to do, how to spend, how to save. And a part of that conflict, a part of that tension, could be grounded in your past and something called your attachment style. Ed Combs is both a certified financial planner and a therapist, and he works with couples to help them understand how their attachment styles can impact their shared financial life. He is the author of The Healthy Love and Money Way, How the Four Attachment Styles Impact Your Financial Well-Being. He joins us now from Charlotte, North Carolina. Hello there.
Hi, Bruce. Thanks so much for having me on today.
It is our pleasure. Financial planner and therapist. That's like doctor, lawyer, or I don't know, any other peanut butter and jelly. How do those two go together? And which came first?
You know, I appreciate the peanut butter and jelly reference, considering I just had one for lunch.
Oh, nice.
So speaking of psychology, it's just a throwback to a childhood need, right? Peanut butter and jelly is a classic staple. Yeah. But really, right, financial planning and therapy, most people actually almost instinctively get it like, oh yeah, no duh. Why aren't those things together? But the reality is when we're trying to make decisions for our financial life and make plans for the future, it would be nice if we were a blank slate when we met with a financial planner and we're just wide open and bushy eyed to their recommendations. But the reality is, no, we have lots of life experiences that have shaped our psychological makeup, shaped our brain functioning. And so therapists are the experts at both understanding how our psychological makeup is wired, but also more importantly, how do we change? How do we heal, especially when there's pain associated with something, psychologically speaking?
I love a quiz, and you have a quiz on your website. So I did the quiz. I did all the little things, the questions of the quiz. It was very cosmopolitan in 2004. Can you give people a flavor of what you're asking and what you're helping them to identify?
Yeah. So my big interest is the psychology of attachment, and there's four attachment styles that the research has borne. And so in this quiz, what we're trying to identify is, do you generally experience secure attachment, anxious attachment, avoidant attachment, or disorganized attachment? So we're asking questions like, I feel really comfortable talking with my intimate partner about money. And, you know, depending on how you answer that question, you have option A, yes, I love talking to my partner about money. Okay. You're probably secure. I get really overwhelmed talking to my partner about money. Okay, maybe anxious. I don't think it's any of my partner's business talking money with them. Maybe more avoidant, right? So we're using different questions to try to help see where you might feel fit in that relational category. Mm.
When I hear the word attachment, I immediately go back to my, you know, parenting experience, parenting a child who was adopted. Attachment's a very big idea. How far back do you go with people to help them understand the roots of that attachment style?
No, that's a great question. So we do go all the way back to infancy, childbirth experiences, parental expectations about receiving you in, and the bonding experience. Have worked with a number of adopted children in the process. And certainly that relational experience is a profound base, psychologically speaking. And then typically what we also do is we start to talk about kind of intergenerationally or multi-generational. What I have clients reflect on, what do you think your parents' attachment style was? What do you think led to that for them? And so, you know, it becomes less of this mystery of like, why am I the way I am? Why do I experience relationships the way that I do? You know, getting that insight, then it leads to like, well, okay, now what do I do in light of that? How do I start to help my psychological makeup move towards more of a secure way of relating?
When I hear the phrase attachment style, it feels very much like an is, like a preference for chocolate ice cream. It is an is. I'm not particularly interested in vanilla. I'm not interested in learning about vanilla. I am left-handed. It is an is. My sense is, though, based on what I've read of you and your work, is there is some evolution or some progress that can be made on understanding attachment styles and having them work more effectively to mitigate the anxiety or the avoidance? How does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, because attachment styles is looking at relational history, and our brain is a relationship organ. So when we give our brain new relational experiences that are healthy, balanced, reflective, empathic, our brain actually starts to rewire itself and recognize new relational patterns as being satisfying and gratifying, as being regulating. And so we don't pick our particular attachment style, but when we can get in a therapeutic relationship that helps us have new relational experiences that represent more secure patterns, our brain will grow and change, as well as our nervous system, because they're all so deeply interconnected. So no, we don't pick it, but we can help it evolve with intention.
The couple comes into your room, into your space, and maybe it's Zoom and maybe it's in person. I don't know.
It's all Zoom.
It's all Zoom. Okay. So they're coming into your Zoom room. What, how would you characterize what that first meeting is like, knowing that every single couple is completely different, but there must be a through line there of like, yep, I know how this goes.
Yeah, there is absolutely a through line. And so one of the first things I'm doing with clients or even people that are checking me out is I'm asking a lot of questions about their family history, their experiences with money. And what happens in that storytelling oftentimes is not always that new details come out, but deeper levels of emotional understanding and meaning come out. And for most couples, that starts to evoke more compassion, where there's anger, resentment, and disappointment. So, you know, that's kind of phase one, is just really, you know, I've got to understand who is this person, because what I know going into every meeting with couples is they have a relational history and they have a financial history, and those things are interwoven. So I need to get to know that in order to be able to work with them.
In, I think in any type of couples therapy, there is a hope that insights will drive behavior change that will improve outcomes, some very tangible, some less tangible. What are some of the benefits that you've seen from people who have participated in your process?
Yeah, I think one of the big ones is a sense of shared responsibility for the financial life. And what I mean by that is, you know, sometimes one person is responsible for the household spending and somebody else is responsible for the work. And then, you know, depending, one of those two people is responsible for kind of the long-term visioning. But what happens is you start to get, you know, that there's, it's more like a Venn diagram where they're overlapping. It's like, okay, yeah, you might do most of the household shopping, but, you know, I need you to also understand that I'm trying to plan for our long-term future. What does that look like? So there's practically a little greater shared overlapping and responsibility. But I think, you know, that's, there's also a deepening of trust and a sense of connection, which for me is really exciting, because I think that's the foundation that allows them to then navigate the future financial decisions ahead of them.
You mentioned four attachment styles. Now I'm going to so oversimplify, you're going to roll your eyes on me here. Are there combinations that are tougher and combinations that are easier? So my hypothesis would be, if both of you have a secure attachment style, it's going to be easier and that couple may never end up in your office. If both people are anxious, maybe, but maybe the anxious and avoidant is the toughest nut to crack. What would you say about that?
You know, I think the toughest nut to crack actually is, and it's the fourth category, which is disorganized attachment. And so they have a very mixed model in their head about the safety of relationships. At least when someone's anxiously or attached or more avoidantly attached, they're more consistent in the way they expect relationships to work. And so it's, we can work with that a little easier. And oftentimes couples that are fighting their way into my office are one's more avoidant, one's more anxiously attached. Well, once in a while, I'll have a secure attached with an anxious or a secure attached with an avoidant. But usually I'm working across anxious and avoidant attachment patterns. Mm.
You, as we've discussed, you work with people directly. You have also written this book. If we were to flip through the pages, if you were to flip through the pages and point our listeners to your most effective piece of advice, the thing that you would just like want blasted from the rooftops when it comes to having productive and loving conversations about money in couples, what would it be?
Oh, that's an incredible question. That's the first time I think I've been asked that question.
That's how I roll. That's how I roll. I will also be asking you to do some mathematical equations. You probably don't get asked those in interviews either, but that's to come.
Yes. Awesome. Well, I'm looking, let me get through that question so I can get to the math questions, because that might be easier. What I have consistently heard from so many people is that it's less the exercises and more my own vulnerability in telling the story about how people can get there. They feel seen and heard in me sharing my story and connecting how our attachment history is playing out in the finances. And so my story is interwoven throughout the whole book. So instead of pointing to one point, I'd say, you know, you kind of got to enjoy the whole book to get the full message.
Well, then here's my supplementary. What is your attachment style?
Anxious.
And what was the moment in which you found, and I'm going to use this word intentionally, when you found and labeled it as that?
Before I answer that, I'll say that when I learned about attachment theory in grad school, I outright rejected it. I hated the idea of it.
Really?
So it wasn't until postgraduate school that I was in my own therapy work and I was really trying to figure things out. And I finally was like, okay, fine. I will look at this.
I'll try that.
I will try this model. I don't like it. I don't like what it means. Because what for me it meant was like, oh, my parents had a real impact on me and my relational expectations. And I didn't want that to be true. But, you know, as I crossed over that psychological hurdle and have come to terms with that, there's been so much more greater liberation and being able to recognize and name the patterns. And even this week I was talking with my wife and, you know, I'd say, hey, look, I'm having some of these anxious relational thoughts. It's not that you haven't done anything, but I'm just, you know, I'm in that anxious brain right now, you know, and I was able to just ask for some direct affirmation that she loves me, she cares about me. And it was like, felt my brain kind of come back online. Or, you know, if a chiropractor pops your back and you're like, oh, yeah, that feels better.
That's it. Thanks.
Yes. You know, so I think when we understand our attachment history, our attachment style, we can be more clear and direct about getting our needs met instead of being kind of backdoor or clingy or abrasive about it.
Being more clear and getting our needs met. Well, that just sums it up so beautifully. Ed, thank you for joining us today.
Bruce, thanks for having me. It's been a pleasure.
Ed Combs is a certified financial planner and therapist. He is the author of The Healthy Love and Money Way, How the Four Attachment Styles Impact Your Financial Well-Being.